afternoon and welcome to Q95's Midday News Package for today, Thursday, October 23rd. I am Arlene Gregoire with the Q95 News Team. In our headline stories this afternoon, former ASP completes the United Workers Party 21. In news from the region, OECS education ministers focus on information technology training for teachers. And internationally, Ottawa shootings, Canada Parliament returns. The news complements Courts Dominica Limited and JSFN and the Company Limited. We'll be right back.
At Courts, there's an excitement in the air as we get ready for the best season of them all. With our new stylish furniture and irresistible accessories, the latest technology in mobile and home entertainment, and shiny new appliances, all from the world's best brands. Plus, you can get it all with Ready Finance, the most affordable way to shop. What's more, we've got awesome prizes and free gifts just for you. So come in today and make this the best one ever, because the season starts now. Only at Courts, bringing value home.
Bring out that exceptional taste in your cooking with First Choice Cooking Oil. Make First Choice Cooking Oil your number one choice for all your frying and cooking needs as it hits to the right temperature, bringing a consistency, quality, and flavor to your dishes. First Choice not only cooks right, but the price is just right too. Ask for it by name. First Choice, that's my cooking oil. Astafans, making life affordable. Available at Astafan Supercenter and Islandwide. Astafan. Right place, right price.
And welcome back. The United Workers' Party has announced as a final candidate, making its complete 21 to contest the upcoming general election. Party leader Lennox Linton has confirmed that former Assistant Superintendent of Police, Stuart Burton, is the party's candidate for the Cottage constituency. Linton says Burton completes the slate in grand style. He describes Burton as a man of integrity who is willing and able to provide the best quality of representation to the people of Cottage.
We're pleased to have Mr. Burton on board with us. He's a man of integrity, an honest man, sincere purpose, and willing and able to provide the best quality of representation that the people of Cottage need at this time. He will be a very important addition, is a very important addition to United Workers Party team, Dominica. He completes the slate, we would say in grand style. We thought that we would like to have our slate of candidates completed before the bell is rung. And we have been able to do that. So we're happy with where we are right now. The process of honest engagement with the people of Dominica continues in earnest. And we're looking forward to the support of the people of the Cottage constituency.
United Workers Party leader Lennox Linton. Acting Prime Minister Ambrose George has dismissed concerns by former Prime Minister and Marigot MP Edison James that the government's plan to congregate hundreds of Dominicans in the aerodrome area of the Melvin Hill Airport for a renaming ceremony is irresponsible and reckless. The government announced last week that the Melvin Hall Airport will be officially renamed the Douglas Charles Airport in honor of deceased former Prime Ministers Roosevelt Douglas and Pierre Charles at a ceremony to take place on October 27th. James told the United Workers Party press briefing on Monday that the Prime Minister has given no consideration to the serious safety breaches that will result from such a large gathering of people. However, speaking to state-owned DBS Radio, the acting prime minister says the safety and security of the public during this event will be paramount to the Dominica Labour Party administration.
The United Workers Party's charge that Prime Minister Skerrit is a traitor to Labour, that the Dominica Labour Party is losing public support, that renaming Melville Hall Airport after late Prime Ministers Douglas and Charles is an attempt to carry the late leader's support, that the planned gathering for the formal renaming ceremony poses an unexamined danger to citizens are so contradicted by the facts as to be laughable. Renaming of Melville Hall Airport the Douglas Charles Airport is an act of gratitude to two Dominican heroes, and as such, a rededication of Dominican citizens to the patriotic spirit of these two deceased leaders. That Douglas and Charles's former constituencies, Portsmouth and Granby, remain Labour Party strongholds a decade after their passing, that in their wake, Prime Minister Skerrit has built up unprecedented support from red, blue and green, point to the senselessness of the United Workers' Party utterances. Further,
Acting Prime Minister Ambrose George. Attorney at law Tiani Behanzen says the option of bringing a private criminal prosecution against the five officers charged with the murder of Joshua Etienne is open to his family. Behanzen made this comment in respect of the lengthy handling of the matter by the prosecution, which he says appears to be dragging on far longer than is reasonably acceptable. Joshua Etienne of Picard, Portsmouth, was said to have been found lifeless in a cell at the Portsmouth Police Station on Tuesday, August 5th, having been arrested and taken into police custody the previous evening. Behanzen says a similar matter in case law was that of Stephen Lawrence in the United Kingdom, who was murdered in a racist attack, and because the prosecution failed to secure charges against the accused, the family resorted to a private criminal prosecution.
So the family began a private criminal prosecution. It was a very interesting one, although they were not able to succeed, because obviously it was such a huge burden for the family. But the comments of the judge in that case was very significant, because normally, if you bring a matter to the court and you lose, then you also carry the burden of the cost. And what happened in that situation, that the judge commended the family's conduct and their patience and the manner in which they had sought to seek justice for their son. And in those circumstances, the judge felt that the legal bill should be paid by the state, because the state ought to have made a more valiant attempt to bring the perpetrators to justice. Eventually, the double jeopardy rule, which is what it's called, and we still have that here. If you're charged with murder and you are either released from the charge or you're found not guilty, the prosecution is barred from bringing the very same charge against you. What can and sometimes happen is that if you're charged with murder and that collapse, sometimes in some limited circumstance, the state can actually proceed against you with manslaughter or some other offense. And that sort of try and escape takes you away from the double jeopardy burden.
Attorney at law Tiani Behanzen. Public Service Day 2014 celebrations continue with the hosting of the Third Information Expo, carded to take place on Friday, October 24th, from 9 a.m. downstairs the government headquarters, this time with a focus on the marginalized communities. These expos have been organized to create the opportunity for public officers, as well as members of the general public, to gather important information on the services offered by the government. The information sessions began in July and take place on the last Friday of every month and ends in November 2014. According to Administrative Cadet of the Reform Management Unit, Vern Leslie, during the third expo, the Ministry of Carib Affairs employees, in collaboration with villagers from the Kalinago Territory, will display and disseminate information on various types of crafts prepared by the Kalinago people. Presentations and exhibitions will also be conducted by the Cultural Division on the different local authors and the literature they have published. Individuals visiting the expo will be privileged to sample different recipes prepared by the people from the Kalinago Territory. Same time, women who visit the expo will have the opportunity to have their Creole headpieces tied for a very small fee. The theme for the observance of Public Service Day 2014 is An Efficient Service, A Sustainable Future. Public Service Day is observed to appreciate, to recognize, highlight, and reward outstanding performance and behavior of public officers. And Dominica's One Young World Ambassador, Pia Gregor, says the 2014 One Young World Summit in Dublin was a life-changing experience. One Young World met as the world faces both a familiar and a new global changes. It aims to initiate dialogue, information sharing, and idea generation in the presence of world experts such as Kofi Annan and Mary Robinson. Above all, it is a catalyst for action to address critical global issues. Gregor says the themes and topics discussed at the One Young World Summit were generated by consulting with One Young World ambassadors and incoming delegates to identify the issues most important to the young people in 2014. She adds that with a career path in sustainable development and entrepreneurship, the summit has instilled a drive to further inspire others through her networking.
It was really a life-changing experience. They talked by the likes of Kofi Annan, former president of Ireland, Mary Robinson, and former president of Latin American countries. It's really inspiring and empowering. You learn a lot. You get to network with young people from all over the world who may have the same interests as you have. And at the end of the summit, we become One Young World ambassadors, and with that, we get to help create change in wherever we are. Could be in our organization, in our country. And we learn on the power of the network that we create at the One Young World Summit to actually trust these initiatives that may already be in existence or anything that we might want to start up on our own. So going to the summit, my preference, my interest was sustainable development and entrepreneurship. And with that, we met a lot of young people with similar interests. For example, we met a young lady from Seychelles, an island in the Pacific, where we got together in a group and we decided to raise awareness about climate change and sustainable development.
Over the 3 days, the young delegates heard presentations and engaged in discussions on a range of topics, including a move to end the food waste, human rights, climate justice, and peace and conflict. Gregor says upon return to Dominica, she hopes to engage youth leaders in a similar activities and discussions for creating a change.
Definitely, it's inspiring, like I mentioned, empowering. So returning to Dominica, if I do return to Dominica in the future, it would be a good opportunity for me with that experience to engage in leadership projects where I could create positive change in any of the topics that we covered at the summit. For example, we covered human rights, conflict and resolution. We covered sustainable development. We covered youth unemployment and entrepreneurship. So it's definitely a starting point. And with the connections and the network that we created, we have the full support of One Young World and our fellow ambassadors to help create change in whatever role we are. One of the things that we just told us is that don't worry about where you're going or where you want to be. Let's focus on where you are right now and create change wherever you are.
Dominica's One Young World Ambassador, Pia Gregoire. And that was all local news for this afternoon in news from the region. A regional education minister has pointed to the need for teachers to be adequately trained in the use of certain technologies before they are introduced into the classroom. St. Lucia's education minister, Dr. Robert Lewis, said while some students are ready to use a Samsung tablet or other Wi-Fi-enabled devices, some educators are not trained on how to integrate the devices into their lesson plans. Although teachers work in different technologies, the biggest barrier might be the generation gap because many of our teachers are not necessarily trained on these gadgets, and they will therefore look forward for training, Lewis said. Dr. Lewis was speaking ahead of the first meeting of the Council of Ministers of Education, which opened in St. Lucia last evening. The use of the ICT in the classroom is among the key issues which will be tabled at the two-day meeting. The regional meeting will provide the opportunity for policymakers to engage in constructive dialogue on substantiative issues regarding education development in the OECS and agree on policies and strategies to advance the implementation of the OECS education sector strategy. The meeting is being held under the theme Transforming OECS Education, Embracing ICTs for the Success of Every Learner. And internationally, Canada's parliament has returned to work a day after a gunman rampaged through its corridors before being shot dead by the sergeant at arms. It opened with applause for the sergeant and a moment of silence. The gunman, reportedly a Muslim convert, also shot and killed a soldier at Ottawa's nearby war memorial. His mother has told the Associated Press news agency that she is crying for the victims of the shooting and not her son. It was a second attack on Canada's military in 3 days. Standing to address the MPs to warm applause, Prime Minister Stephen Harper's first words were, "I know we will always stand together." The objective of the attacks was to instill fear and panic in Canada, he said. But he vowed to expedite security measures to strengthen powers of surveillance and detention. And this has been the afternoon's midday news package, but first a recap of the headlines. Former ASP completes a United Workers Party 21. In news from the region, OECS education ministers focus on ICT training for teachers. And internationally, Ottawa shootings at Canada Parliament returns. Once again, the news compliments Courts Dominica Limited and J. Estefans & Company Limited. If you miss any of the news packages, log on to the website at www.q95da.com. View the stories or click on the podcast icon and listen to the various packages.